You are listening to an exclusive podcast on Money Control.
A new change that could benefit home buyers has been made to the IBC, that is the Insolvency and Bankruptcy Code. This change allows home buyers to be treated as financial creditors. A discussion of all of that is what is coming up on our story of the day. My name is Rakesh and you're listening to Money Control.
Story of the day.
Home buyers now have a seat at the table. The latest from the IBC.
A Money Control exclusive.
The central government has been pretty keen on the Insolvency and Bankruptcy Code. Many experts and analysts have termed it a game changer. This is one law that has instilled a new fear of the long arm of the law in real estate promoters. They now fear losing their company. As a consequence of the IBC, banks have recovered monies of around 83,000 crore rupees from defaulting promoters. That is over $12 billion. The same fear is now palpable in the eyes of real estate developers. Okay, that was a bit dramatic, but it does summarize the situation with some accuracy. Let's explain. When we say the IBC allows financial institutions to treat home buyers as financial creditors, what we mean is this. Until now, a home buyer was considered an unsecured creditor. This means his payments to the builder were graded as a lower level than that of banks. In case of insolvency, the lending bank and other institutional creditors would first recover their money via sale of assets of the builder. If anything remained, the buyer would have got his money back. This scenario is playing out currently in the case filed against JP Infratech by home buyers, which is now being heard by the Supreme Court. On the 9th of August 2017, the Allahabad bench of the National Company Law Tribunal, or NCLT, admitted a plea by IDBI Bank to begin insolvency proceedings against JP Infratech for defaulting on a 526.11 crore rupee loan. The interim resolution professional, Anuj Jain, told the media, and I quote, "In accordance with the provisions of the IBC, on the commencement of the CIRP, the powers of the board of directors of the company stand suspended and shall be exercised," unquote. The NCLT asked home buyers who purchased flats from JP Infratech to file their claims by the 24th of August for refund of their money in case of a revival of the company failed. According to Section 13 of the IBC, that is the Insolvency and Bankruptcy Code, a buyer who has taken home loan to pay JP Group has the right to file a claim with the IRP, that is the Interim Resolution Professional. Media reports claimed JP handed over only 5,500 flats out of the proposed 32,000 flats and 3,000 plots across 800 acres along the Noida-Greater Noida Expressway. It has 305 towers, of which 250 are incomplete. JP Infratech is among the 12 big corporate loan defaulters identified by the Reserve Bank through its Internal Advisory Committee in June 2017 for the Insolvency and Bankruptcy Code. In September, the Supreme Court issued a stay order on the insolvency proceedings against JP following petitions by various associations of home buyers who went to court as they stood to lose their apartments without any compensation. This stay was revoked by the Supreme Court, which also directed the IRP to take over the management of the company and submit an interim resolution plan that took into account the interests of home buyers. The court also directed Jayaprakash Associates, JP Infratech's holding company, to deposit 2,000 crore rupees with the court to protect the interests of home buyers. Out of this, only 750 crore rupees have been deposited till the 17th of May this year. The case will be heard again in July. Now let's take a couple of minutes to examine how this amendment actually came about. In March of this year, a 14-member insolvency law committee suggested that home buyers be treated as financial creditors, which will allow them to equitably participate in an insolvency resolution process. The panel has also suggested relaxations for micro, small, and medium enterprises, that is MSMEs, under the IBC. This would provide relief to home buyers stuck in incomplete real estate projects against which insolvency proceedings are underway. The committee said in its report, and I quote, "The committee's attention was drawn to the significant confusion regarding the status of buyers of under-construction apartments as creditors under the code, that is, home buyers as creditors under the code. Multiple judgments have categorized them as neither fitting within the definition of financial nor operational creditors," unquote. To Two things stand out from the committee's report. First, the committee agreed that the amounts raised under the home buyer contracts is a significant amount, which contributes to the financing of construction of an asset in the future. Number two, the report also noted that not including home buyers within the definition of financial or operational creditors was a cause for worry because it deprived them of three rights. Number one, the right to initiate corporate insolvency resolution process, that is CIRP. Number two, the right to be on the committee of creditors, that is COC. And number three, the guarantee of receiving at least the liquidation value under the resolution plan. So what conclusion did the committee arrive at? The committee reviewed various financial terms of agreements between home buyers and builders, as well as the manner of utilization of the disbursements made by home buyers to the builders. It noted that the agreement is for disbursement of money by the home buyer for the delivery of a building to be constructed in the future. The disbursement of money is made in relation to a future asset, and the contracts usually span a period of 4 to 5 years or more, the report said. The Insolvency Law Committee then said that the amounts raised in such a manner are used as a means of financing the real estate project and are thus, in effect, a tool for raising finance. Therefore, on the failure of the project, money is repaid based on time value of money. The amendment became necessary because, as some media reports put it, it collided in principle with another act. The Real Estate Regulation and Development Act of 2016, or RERA, which was drafted keeping the buyer in focus, holds the developer responsible in case of a delay in the project and expects the buyer to be compensated if the project is not completed in the promised time. The amendment has now cleared the path, and the home buyer now has the same right over the asset of a bankrupt builder as a bank does. So now that we know the story behind the change, here's what's the new amendment in the IBC means. Until now, home buyers were treated as unsecured creditors who came after secured and institutional creditors in terms of priority for recovery of dues. Once the ordinance receives approval from President Kovind, home buyers will be considered on par with banks and institutional creditors and given priority while recovering dues from bankrupt or insolvent real estate companies. The details are still fairly sketchy. Minister for Law and Justice Ravi Shankar Prasad played his cards quite close to his chest. Speaking after the cabinet meet, he said, and I quote, "I cannot disclose anything because it's a new legislation except to reinforce that the cabinet has approved it." End quote. Home buyers have lauded the new amendment as a significant step that will ensure them a seat at the Committee of Creditors table. They said it will enable them to equally drive the process of resolution of the real estate firm. Abhishek Dubey, a Delhi-based lawyer and a JP home buyer, went on to say, and I quote, "Earlier, only financial institutions were recognized as financial creditors, giving them the sole power to decide the future of the company under CIRP, that is, Corporate Insolvency Resolution Process, completely ignoring the rights of home buyers who have contributed equal and sometimes more funding than the financial institution. The ordinance will set this anomaly right." Unquote. And he's not incorrect. The Times of India reported that JP Infratech had raised around 13,500 crore rupees from home buyers by way of booking amount and installments. This was far higher than the 9,800 crore rupees raised from banks to construct the apartments, Taj Expressway and a hospital. 3,700 crore rupees more came from home buyers than the financial institutions. On the other hand, insolvency experts say it may have its own challenges because every financial creditor, or in this case, the home buyer, may want to vote differently. In such a scenario, a single representative will have to obtain the will of hundreds of people, and that could be challenging and time-consuming. This could also negatively impact lenders because the recovery proceeds will now have an added layer of distribution that was not factored in at the time of giving the loan to the developer. In other words, while the amendment is good for home buyers, it does not augur well for bankers or builders. Banks will now have to share recovery proceeds with home buyers. And again, there might not be consensus among all home buyers. Real Estate Developers Body, CREDAI or CREDAI, has welcomed the move. It went on to say, and I quote, "It is a good move for the protection of the money of home buyers. RERA, that is the new act, protects the money of buyers in an ongoing concern. Now the buyer's investment is protected even in the case of insolvency." Unquote. Realtors also raised concerns that the system must uphold the superiority of a bank mortgage over any other claim, else banks may become hesitant in lending to the sector. India Ratings and Research, the leading credit rating agency, observed that with the dilution of lenders' rights in liquidation proceeds, financiers have to start repricing lending yields. As a result, borrowing rates could harden for developers relative to their credit profiles. However, the ratings agency believes the increase in borrowing cost may not materially increase the end value of real estate. Institutional lending forms 20 to 30% of the total value, while the balance comes from buyers' construction-linked receipts. However, analysts claim the biggest beneficiary long-term will be the real estate sector. Thanks to the amendment and to RERA, buyers will now be confident about recovering their money, even if the builder fails. Many fence sitters who are wary about buying their own houses may now come to feel it is safe to put their money into real estate. Other analysts say the changes in the code will also help micro, small and medium enterprises by allowing their promoters to submit their resolution plan in insolvency cases. Small and medium firms are key to India's jobs growth.
Story of the day.
Home buyers now have a seat at the table. The latest from the IBC.
A Money Control exclusive.
Well, that, in summary, is what happened. Home buyers now have a seat at the table. How this evolves and is actually put into action, only time will tell. And of course, I will tell, because Money Control is sure to bring another podcast related to it as time goes on. Speaking of homes and podcasts, we have begun a new series, which is a beginner's guide to investing. And one of our latest episodes, in fact, relates to real estate. What are the pros of investing in real estate? What are the cons of investing in real estate? And what, indeed, real estate is all about. So be sure to take a listen to that. Thank you for joining us on this story of the day. Until the next time I see you, on behalf of the Money Control Podcast Desk, thank you for joining us on Stay Logged On to moneycontrol.com to be a smart listener and an even smarter investor.
This is an exclusive podcast on Money Control.